Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Jason Warner.
And who's...
16476.
Hold one second, sir. I see who's going to... The Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all right.
Sir, just for the record, could you state your full name and the ADC number for us?
Yeah, it's Jason Ralph Warner, 16476.
Okay, Mr. Warner, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable David Neal. Coming down the line is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse here. And my name is Michael Johnson. I'll be acting as your panel lead today, sir. Also, with us representing the Department of Correction, as well as your parole officer, is Mr. Grady, sir.
Okay.
Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay, on that form, sir, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to represent you at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
No, I'm going to represent myself.
Okay, thank you, sir.
I don't know if my family's there or maybe I guess if you want to say something, I think.
You do have some family members here. You have a rap runner?
Yeah. And a married woman? Or...
Okay. Yes. Okay. So, Mr. Rob Warner and Mr. Warner, are you going to be speaking today?
He will.
You will, sir? Okay. So at this time, sir, I'd like to swear Jason. I'd like to swear you in along with Mr. Rob Warner, along with the parole officer, Mr. Westby, in at this time, sir. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
I do.
Mr. Rob Warner? Mr. Westwood? Okay. So your hearing will be conducted in two phases.
That's Mr. Grady.
Oh, Mr. Grady. I'm just calling him Westwood. He just rolled along with the flow, too, huh? So your hearing today will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, sir, the board will make a recommendation whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out in phase one, Mr. Warner. You have one allegation listed on your warrant, sir. I'm going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Okay, do you understand what I'm requesting, sir? Okay. Sir, the allegation of the warrant states that you have violated Arizona Condition of Supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in verbally aggressive behavior on or about June 25th, 2018 at MRC located at 24601 North 29th Avenue. Sir, is that true or false?
I would say it wasn't aggressive, it was just an argument.
Okay,
yeah,
so,
it was an argument.
So is that true, sir?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay. All right, then based on the admission of Mr. Warner, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapses about the lapse in two criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree. Mm-hmm. Motion by myself, second Ms. Rittenhouse, agree Mr. Neal, agree Dr. Wright. Okay, sir, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two of your hearing, Mr. Warner, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Grady. Then I'm going to go over some information with you, sir, and then we're going to give you the opportunity to present any information that you'd like to present to the board, and then we're going to give your supporter an opportunity to speak before the board, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right, sir. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Warner was released from DLC on March 8th of 2018. He was arrested on June 25th of 2018 by parole staff. He has no new charges. He was returned back to DLC on June 25th of 2018. He has a CSCD on December 7th of 2019 with 0 respond days. Current conviction, 2013, fraudulent schemes and out of license. 4 years, 6 months, prior convictions, 2002 burglary tools, possession, 1 year, 2002 criminal trespass, one first degree, 1 year, 9 months, 2004 criminal possession of forgery device, 1 year, 2004 theft, 2 years, 6 months, 2007 fraudulent law enforcement, 2 years, 3 months, 2007 kidnapping, 12 years, 6 months. He has 3 terms of DOC, his CUIR scores of 4-4, mental health scores of 3, substance abuse scores of 3. Gang information is affiliated with prison gang area brotherhood as a member and a street criminal gang, SKS, serial killer skins. Prior term of supervision, 2003, TIS release, absconded for 21 days with CSED while in custody. 2005, TIS release, absconded for 107 days, arrested and revoked by the DOEC. Disciplinary violation of robbery with drugs, violence, and aggravated assault on staff noted. Other arrests, 2001, forgery, Arizona probation, revoked. And community risk over the G4V5.
Information with you. I do want to acknowledge that you do have some support letters here that we do have on file. I've had the opportunity to also look through them. Also, so I see that when you were released on May 8th, you were released and approved to reside at 4101 West Wood Drive in Phoenix, Arizona. Then it looks like on March 27th, you established a residence at MRC. Located at 24601 North 29th Avenue. Is that right, sir?
Yes, that is right.
Okay. So it doesn't look like, it doesn't show that you were working during that period of time because you were at MRC. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, that's correct. I had a job with my sponsor. I had a sponsor when I was supposed to be released. I was supposed to graduate on 27th of June.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to start work that next day, working in landscaping with my sponsor. He's been sober for 7 years. I've known him since he was a kid. Good influence. I mean, yeah, so I was not working because of MRC. I did 88 days there. I mean, I was supposed to graduate in 2 days. And I mean, to be honest with you, I had no problems at MRC. I just, one of those things where this argument happened and I got sent back. I mean, I've seen people in there get caught with marijuana. I've got people with their UAs, and they've all got second chances. There's an argument. I learned from it. I will not do that again because this has been a learning experience, an open eye experience. I really don't want to go back to another 15 months at Buckley. And the deal with this, just a record straight, I think I'm in PC, protective custody, so Larry and brotherhood stuff, that no longer exists. That's out of my life. I'm in protective custody, so it's on the record, and the SKS stuff, I don't know where that came from. I'm in no game whatsoever. I'm just trying to get my life together. I just did 12 and a half years. I got my family there, obviously, they love me. I have a place, I have a job. I have a car, I have a sponsor, I've been sober for 128 days. I mean, I don't know, this has been a frustrating, I mean, very frustrating and disheartening a little bit, to be honest with you. I mean, I can go on and on, and I wrote something here, but I'm just telling you from the heart, it's just, you know, I feel like a great disappointment to my family. Here they are, took me in, and I'm still in prison after, it's just an argument, I mean. I don't know what else to say. I'm not good at this kind of stuff. You know, I did 12 and a half years of living the same way every day. And now for me to change, I'm learning who I am by going to AA and having a sponsor. And I put up a lot of walls to block a lot of certain things, and I'm trying to tear those down. I'm learning in MRC. I learned a lot of things over there. And, I will go back there and do another 90 days. I mean, if I have to. But, you know, I just want to get my I can't keep doing this.
Okay.
This is like a last chance, man. I gotta get it together now. Well, you know what? I mean, this prison stuff, and it just, maybe, I just don't know how to say it, man. It's just been a disheartening experience, I'm gonna say at least.
Okay, so, sir, you said it was a little argument, but I'm gonna go over a couple of things with you.
Okay.
And it does appear that you had, well, I guess there's three different stages of the program. You went through stage two, and you were...
Stage one, two, and three.
Right, you had entered stage three on June 2nd of 2018. Looks like this incident, and there was two incidents, sir, when apparently, according to the documentation, that you walked into the window, and was asking when you were going to get your medications, and from there on, it became, you became verbally aggressive. What caused that? What set that off, sir?
Okay, I don't remember the verbally aggressive. I mean, she asked me who my parole officer, and I told her it was Jerry Milan. And then she made a comment saying, well, not no more, because I'm going to get you violated. So maybe I overreacted to that a little bit. Maybe I should have stepped back and shut my mouth. But I didn't threaten her aggressively. It was just talk. That's all it was. Was heading off, you know, they had me on methadone, and I was trying to come off it because I was coming home. Because I was coming home on 27th. Maybe it had a little irritation to do with it. I know getting off that stuff is probably worse than drugs. I'm fully recovered now, but I mean, to be honest with you, that stuff, I can't believe the co-op even gives you that, to be honest with you.
Okay. So
maybe it had a little something to do with the irritation a little bit, but it was nothing aggressive. I wouldn't try anyway. Why would I threaten somebody with 2 days left of graduation?
Okay.
I wouldn't do it. I'm smarter than that.
Okay, I didn't say that you threatened anybody. I said you were verbally aggressive. That means that you're talking in a loud tone of voice and using profanity.
Okay. Yeah, maybe it has something to do with methadone a little bit, but I really don't remember getting loud and aggressive like that. I just know an argument occurred, and that was it. I thought it was over, but apparently they didn't feel that way, and I got sent back. Okay. I thought it was over. I went back to my housing unit, went to class, and then they called me back up and arrested me, and I thought it was over. I didn't think it was nothing of an ordeal. I just said I was sorry. I shook hands with the MRC guy, and I went back home, and I honestly thought it was over.
Okay. So what happened, sir, it says that when they went to arrest you, and they asked you to put your hands behind your back to be cuffed, you didn't follow their directives, and then you became argumentative.
Well, to be honest with you, I want to talk to Patty Barnhart about the whole situation. I didn't cuff up, and I was just wanting some explanations why I was getting arrested. Because here I just did 88 days and put my heart and soul into that program. And I just thought it was kind of crazy how my luck turned like that. I just wanted to talk it out and find out why I was getting arrested. There's nothing like that. I just wanted some answers, I guess, because everything happened so fast. One minute I'm in class and graduating, and next I'm in cuffs, going back to remember. It's an eye-opening experience, man.
Okay. So I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you.
Okay.
Some additional questions coming from the board, sir. I know you have your supporter here. I want to give him an opportunity, sir, if you could just come up to the mic, state your full name, and then present the information you'd like to present to the board.
Hi. My name is Ralph Warren. I'm Jason's dad. And this is a kind of a funny situation because when I talked, he was let go. My son called me, but they called me saying to pick his stuff up. So I went down to pick his stuff up. And when I got there and I talked to them, asking him what occurred, some of them said that it wasn't a very big deal. And I asked him, was that a thing for them to drum them out and put them back in the prison? And they said yes. There were some that said no. My wife talked to a couple of people. One is a fax that you have from a corrections officer. The other one's from Catherine Nesbitt, which is head of the program. She indicated that if she was there, that it would have never happened. that they would have never sent him back for that reason. He's done very well. When he first got out, he got out of the PC. There was no re-entry instructions, so he pretty much didn't know where he was going. So when he went back into the retention program, that was a prison, with barbed wire and everything else, and it kind of freaked him out. But he adjusted. They told him he would have to go for 30 days. He went for 90. He told him he would go for the whole 90 days, which to me was a big deal for him. And so this part of the, violation of parole, this is a learned behavior in prison. They learn this behavior day in and day out when they're dealing with guards. And so to unlearn that behavior doesn't take 90 days. It may take a lifetime. I know myself, when a boss or somebody in authority would say something to me, it's a learned behavior. Your first instinct is to get mad. That's a behavior you learn after a while to take and to respond in an educational manner. So I think he made a great, I thought he did really good, and I'm hoping that you give him another chance to see if he can make this adjustment back in the society. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Does the board have any questions?
Also, he has us to live with. We're both retired. We have a home. We have a nice room for him. It's all set for him. So, thank you.
Okay. And did anyone else want to speak on behalf of
this one? I hope you have a chance
to state your full name.
I'm Mary Lou Warner.
And do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you.
I hope you had a chance to read the letters from his brother and sister and the CO2, because that really does reflect the changes that we've seen in him. I mean, I don't think that looking at his record, where he is now, shows anything about the maturity and the gains that he's made, especially over the last 3 months at MRC. He worked with Dave Cantrell, who really helped him break down some of those barriers and really look at himself to the person he really is, not who he became in prison. You know, the tattoos he was getting rid of. The whole thing, that he really started to see who he was from the inside, the type of person. And if you look at some of those letters and the comments made by his people in his group, I mean, if he had food, he'd share it. If he had clothes, he'd give it. If he had extra shoes, he'd give it. He's just a really kind-hearted person. But you don't see that in the record, obviously. He really does deserve another chance with support. I mean, we'll do community resources if we need to. We understand that he needs some help breaking down those walls that he's built over the last 12 years. He was a kid when he went in, and sure, he's 41 now, but he sure doesn't. The maturity stopped while he was in prison. His ability to grow as a person stopped while he was in prison. And what he did was build walls, which were in the process of breaking down and being identified by him as areas of that he needed to work on. He was really proud to be graduating that program. We were too.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am. Okay, Mr. Bonner, the board is coming up on the conclusion of your hearing. So prior to the board going into discussion, sir, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board without repeating yourself, sir? Yes, sir.
I just want a second chance, man. I just don't have that on my family, and if you didn't do that, I guarantee you I wouldn't be here sitting here in front of you guys again. If I have to go back to MRC for that 90 days, like I said, I will. But I would have a chance to get on with my life, man. I mean, I've been doing this my whole life, and I need to change it. I know it's time. I mean, I got the love and support right there. If you guys can find it, Hurst, if I can, Paul, excuse me, if I need Hurst, give me a chance. I won't be here this evening.
All right, so the board's going into discussion. A lot of the board's in discussion, so I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone. However, I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, so, okay?
Yeah.
All right, the board's now going into discussion. I did have an opportunity, I think we've all had the opportunity to see the letters that's attached, as well as the email that came from the parole officer on the situation. We still have pretty much a basic statement, along with the comments that was made by some of the members in this group about Mr. Varner at the time that he was in the program. And I think Mr. Warner, you know, is making a chance. He did have the incident. I don't know what set off the argument. They call it argument, whether it's shouting or the language that was actually used to talk with the POs when they were actually in there conducting some business. The CO, they were conducting some business in the room. He went back and forth. He was in that program, hadn't had any problems, and he's right. He was in there for 88 days, I believe it was. He had two more days to go before he graduated, and then they staffed him, and after they staffed him, they decided to go ahead and send him back to revoke him at that time, and he was revoked. But even when they revoked him, and in the documentation we have, it says that he wanted to go to lockup so that he wouldn't be back on the yard. He said he didn't want to jeopardize all the progress that he had made by being in the program, and he didn't want to go back on the yard and jeopardize the progress that he had actually made, and then locked himself down. I think he realizes his mistake, and I think he does understand at this point in time that, you know, it's just not an argument, but you just have to, you know, abide and do what the correction officers are telling you to do in order to be successful and complete the program. I listened to both his supporters that are here with him today, and states they do have a place for him to actually go stay. But based on the information, the letters and information, I do think that Mr. Warner is trying to make a turn. He has made that decision in his life to make that turn in his life. I am, with all of that said, I am supportive of giving him a second opportunity and returning him to community supervision. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm actually concerned, because if you run engages in this kind of behavior anywhere, the description of the event, that's no way to be successful. And I'm just afraid that, even this little slip today indicates that has issues with talking to people civilly. So I would be concerned about that, Mr. Johnson.
Any more comments?
Well, yes, Mr. Johnson, I think that, yes, he made progress. I mean, he only had 2 weeks, and if I only have 2 days, I'm going to be very cautious when I say anything. I don't care what they do to me, even if they beat me up, I'm going to. I know everybody's different, and I recognize what his father said, that the behavior pattern that goes through and when he's been incarcerated, as long as he has. But I have to admit, I'm prepared to change, but at the moment I'm leaning towards what Ms. Rittenhouse has stated. Thank you.
Can you serve your last?
No, sir. I didn't see your hands, sir. I didn't look at the door exit. Which is nice, I didn't lose them.
I do understand, and I understand even the slip of what he just said in there doesn't really happen when he's trying to come before the parole board and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's my eyes.
So the board is in discussion, so we need to remain silent, okay? And he, based on what's been said by the parole officer and all those involved, that he's come a long way from where he was actually at in the actual beginning, and that being in that program helped him out a lot. And I'm also going by to not just the parents of those that were in the class, but this email that comes from the parole officer. Which is a seal to Edward Cortez. Which is also asking pretty much that he had went through the program. He has, there's been a big transformation from the first day that he was in the program to the day that he was in the program. And I think that if the young man has made that decision to make that turn, and we take that opportunity away from him, that we just send him backwards, and he knows that, you know, he could have went back to the yard, but he asked to be in lockdown so that he wouldn't, because he realized the progress that he had actually made. So I just think that giving him a second opportunity, he's been locked up since he's been in a child, so he's made progress. We haven't seen the progress that he's made because this is our first opportunity, having the opportunity to speak with him. But, there's just, to me, tendencies to show that he's trying to make that change, and yeah, he's not totally there where I think he should be, but that he's there at a point where he's really made the decision that he wanted to make the change. He said that when he went back up there, he apologized to the COs and shut their hands and told them, and then when they got ready to arrest him, he was a little argumentative because he couldn't understand why he was being arrested, or he wanted to talk to one of the counselors, but you know, he says he cuffed up and went back. I do think that in this particular instance, although he's not exactly where he needs to be, that Mr. Warner does deserve, and I think his parents are there to support him, that he's made that turn, but he's not quite exactly where. And I do agree, if you got 2 days left, that you'd be doing your best to do it, but I think he just, you know, for some reason, panicked. And then he had another slip of words today when he was having his interview with Mr. Neal.
Well, I would like to say it was mentioned that in 12 years, one behavior and everything else, but any signs of water, if any disrespectful like that, they get written up and they lose good time, they you get all kinds of sanctions and stuff like that. And that's one of the things from the beginning, they're not supposed to do this. Use that kind of language toward the staff. And he has in his discipline talking about having insulted the staff. And it is amazing to me, like what Dr. Wright said, there's 2 days left to graduate from that program and leave that facility. You're going to be that disrespectful to that many of the staff. It's, you know, one-on-one argument, I can understand, but, you know, it's totally outmoded. It would people around there, and they're showing the staff, and he's acting like that in front of all those witnesses. And it worries me, because what happens if he gets out there and he's doing something and gets confronted by a police officer? And he didn't really make wrong. But the officer body might be confronted, he wants to get him in. Is he going to do that same thing and progress you out on the street like that, you do that, and you're going to get cussed on you real quick, and it's going to be a bad situation. And I just don't think he's got quite the handle on the name of management that he thinks he does. Because that's, I just can't see why at that point in time it had progressed before you could even have that kind of outbreak. I personally am not, as one of the board members, not comfortable with returning to the supervision at this time.
Okay, that's why I'm going to, and I know we'll get a counter motion, but I'm going to make a motion to continue him on a community supervision with the same conditions. That will be my motion. And I'm going to say, Dr. Wright, you disagree?
There's no second before him.
So without a second, then I'm just going to, I would mark everyone for disagree and then just go with the counter motion, Dr. Wright. Okay. I'm going to mark Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal disagree, and Mr. Rittenhouse disagree, and we go with the counter motion. So I need to make a counter motion.
Okay, I move to revoke community supervision. And based on information warrant 2018W1822, our conversation with Mr. Moore, information provided by I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company specifically by engaging in verbally assaultive behavior with staff.
Second. Motion by Ms. Rittenhouse, second by Mr. Newell. Agree, Dr. Wright, disagree, Mr. Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Mr. Warner?
Yeah.
Sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. I do want to take the opportunity to thank you for taking the time to participate in your hearing today. I want to thank your supporters for taking the time to come out here and be in support of you, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. If you could set the phone down, sir, and put the COP on the phone.
Sure. Yes, officer is.
Yes, sir. I believe that's the only one we have for this. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, and we'll talk to you the next time, sir.
All right,
you
are.
Thank you, sir.